If you do, go up there sometime and take a look at the little house, but look at it through the fence. That's far enough. You go out Foothill Boulevard toward Pasadena, but you turn off on Angeles Crest Highway at La Canada, and you just keep on driving uphill. You'll get there. Just keep right on going. The top of Mount Wilson is the end of the highway. That's where the big telescope is. The biggest in the world till they got the big eye operating down in Mount Palomar near San Diego. There's a lot of people waiting to have a look through that big new one, and I'm not one of them. I looked through a telescope once at the sky. You ever look through a big telescope? The sky? At night? At the things up there? Things so far away, you sprain your brain just trying to imagine how far away they are, with nothing between you and them. Billions and billions of miles of nothing. I don't know what it does to you, but really, I freeze. Listen, do you know there are holes in the sky? I mean it. I've seen them. There's a thing in the constellation Andromeda. No, I'm not going to get technical with you. Just listen. There's this thing. Astronomers call it the Horsehead Nebula. You know what it is? It's a hole. It's a great big patch of nothing. Just nothing. There aren't any stars there. There's just a hole. No. Nobody knows anything about it. Astronomers look at it. They take pictures of it. And there it stays. There it is now, and tomorrow, and the next day, and a million years from now. And it's been there always. Yes, it's so far away that what you see now is the way it looked a billion years ago, before there was anybody to see it, friend. And there's lots more of those places. So, what's all this got to do with the little house up on top of Mount Wilson? Well, I'll tell you. This was, quite some time ago. I'd been living in California, see, for several years. I had a couple of bucks, had a nice little place up near Van Nuys. That was before the Valley got to be so popular with movie people and radio comics and people like that, and it wasn't bad living alone, waking up in the middle of the night hearing the Southern Pacific lark whistle for a crossing out around Chatsworth, listening to a dog howling way across the valley, then going back to sleep. I don't get back to sleep so easy these days. Well, these people from Cleveland were out there, Aldo Minucci and Hugh Grant. We used to be great friends, Aldo and Hugh and I, so nothing would do, but they'd come and stay with me. It was all right. I had a Dodge convertible, and the boys got quite a kick out of California. It's not like Cleveland's. So we did a lot of driving around, and we got a lot of kicks, you know? Up to the desert to see the Joshua trees, down to Laguna to go swimming, Arrowhead, out to the Lion Farm on Ventura Boulevard. We even went to the bowl and listened to the symphonies under the stars. Stars. Never want to see the stars anymore. I saw them once too often. We were just like any apple knockers that come out of the east. We went everywhere and looked at everything and got a bang out of it. That's how we came to go up to Mount Wilson that day. Aldo and Hugh had been, you know, looking around for odd places. They had some ideas. And so one day we were having breakfast and they were looking at an automobile club bulletin, and Aldo said, "Let's go to Mount Wilson." So we did. I'd been up there once before, and you know how it is in California. I knew everything. Well, I thought I knew everything. Found out different. We were inside the big dome where the 100-inch telescope is. It's like being inside a giant's watch. The telescope is in the middle, a big spidery framework with ladders climbing all over it under this dome. The tourists stand on kind of a catwalk around the edge while the astronomer explains as much as thinks the apple knockers are understand. There was just a few of us that day, standing close to that little kind of pulpit listening there with our mouths open. It is like a pulpit. I got to thinking that day how the astronomer looked like a priest up there. A nice old white-haired fellow like a priest, and I was thinking he was talking about the heavens, too. I'd seen it all before, but my mouth was as wide open as Hugh's and Aldo's.
Well, I say, the Earth rotates, you know, all 24,000 miles of its equator. Once in 24 hours, a given spot on the Earth's surface is moving at the rate of 1,000 miles per hour. And the Earth is moving through space. It moves around the sun at the rate of about 18 and a half miles per second.
Wow.
So therefore, we must, in order to keep this telescope focused accurately on the celestial objects we are observing, neutralize these motions mechanically. The telescope itself, as you will observe, is controllable in any direction by this motor. Watch it, if you please. Notice the motion of the telescope. Now I shall open the shutters of the dome, through which the telescope points. And the final movement, the rotation of the entire dome, exactly synchronized with the speed of the Earth through space. Watch through the shutters above you, please.
I don't know.
Look at Ross.
Yeah, I see.
Look at Ross.
I see. Okay.
Look outside. We ain't moving. The sky's going by. Look at who?
I see it.
It's an optical illusion, Aldo.
No, it's not an optical illusion. In relation to space, this spot we are on is standing still. Through these motions, we, here in the dome, the mirror of the telescope is kept aimed exactly at one spot far out in space.
What's space, mister?
It's nothing.
What about the air?
There are a few miles of air, I'd say, my friend. And then, nothing.
Huh.
Well, the stars.
Yes, the stars.
Sure.
And the places where there are no stars.
My skin twitched a little when he said that. Did yours? Well, the show was over, and we went outside into the sunlight. We walked across the long wooden bridge. There's a deep gully in front of the dome, and down a little path past the thing, there's a thing they call a coelestat, a small dome on legs about 100 feet high, all painted with aluminum paint. Well, everything's painted with aluminum paint up there. Thing they study the sun and sunspots and things like that with. It was quiet up there, along toward the middle of the afternoon, and there was a chill in the air, although it was hot down below. And the squirrels frisk around underfoot, and I pointed out a deer. It's wild up there, you know. And we were just talking. It's an odd place, and you get kind of impressed. Not only with the things they have up there, the telescopes and the odd buildings and the view you get through the trees on a good clear day. You can see all the way to Santa Monica. But the people impress you. The astronomers. They live up there all by themselves, and they look at the sky and they see things. You always get the feeling they know a lot more than they're telling. Like doctors or priests, I guess. Said that, didn't I? Well, that's what they're like. The path leads through the woods, the biggest live oaks you ever saw, over the old hotel. So I said to the guys, you know, say, what about a beer before we start down, huh?
A beer? That's for me.
Can you get any hard liquor up here, Ross?
Nah, I don't think so. Anyway, I wouldn't want a drink, not with all that mountain road ahead of me.
No, sir, don't you take no drink, Ross. I wouldn't want to ride that road with nobody who's had a drink of liquor. Maybe you shouldn't have a beer, even.
Beer won't hurt me.
What's that fence for?
Huh. I never noticed that before.
That's quite a fence. Have a hard time getting over that.
What would you want to get over it for, Hugh?
I don't know. What you suppose is on the other side? They got this heavy fence.
Well, I don't see anything, except that little house over there on stilts.
Funny looking place.
Fence goes right around it.
Ain't there a gate?
Oh, come on. Let's get a beer.
No, I want to look at this, Ross.
Probably they got something valuable in there.
Yeah, sure. Scientific instruments or something. This place is all full of that stuff.
Hey, look. Sign.
Where?
Here.
Come on.
Wait. What's it say?
The public is forbidden to pass beyond this fence under severe penalty. The Carnegie Foundation?
That all?
Yeah.
What you suppose they got in that place?
I don't know, and I don't care.
There's a door up there at the end of that trestle. Maybe we could go back and get in through the other shed where the trestle starts, huh?
What do you want to go in there for? We got to get going.
I'm just curious. You know what I mean? That place might come in handy.
Oh, yeah.
See? Specifically if they keep everybody out like this.
But the thing might be all full of stuff, Hugh. Like Ross said, scientific stuff.
Might be, and might not be. Hey, here comes that fellow that made the spiel up there.
Well, ask him, he'd know.
He's not gonna tell you.
Well, we'll find out. Hey, fella.
How are you?
Hey.
Were you talking to me?
Yeah. What's in that funny-looking building?
Over there? Nothing.
Yeah?
What's the idea of that fence, then?
We don't want people to go in there.
I'd sure like to see what's in it.
I said there's nothing in there.
You sure, mister?
Yes, I'm absolutely sure.
Well, could we get a pass to go in there?
No, you saw that sign, didn't you?
Said something about the penalty of law.
You didn't read it very carefully.
He didn't read it, I did.
Read it again.
Wait. The public is forbidden to pass beyond this fence under severe penalty. See?
I see what he means. Doesn't say anything about the law.
Oh.
That's right.
Well, then...
There are other penalties.
Oh. Tough guy, huh?
No, not at all.
Well, what does it mean, then?
I'll give you a little friendly advice. I wouldn't try to find out if I were you.
Oh, is that so?
Yes.
Do you really know what's in there, mister?
Yes.
What?
What?
Nothing.
Okay, lads. Let's go get the beer.
Well, of course, you know it was up. You're way ahead of me. My Cleveland pals weren't in California just for a vacation. There was a bank I'd had my eye on for a while out in Pacific Palisade, and it wasn't the first bank that Minucci and Hugh Grant and I had worked a deal on. Didn't go much for this place up on Mount Wilson with nothing in it and a fence around it, but Aldo and Hugh, well, after all, could you find a better place to stash away some dough? Nobody could get in, they said, and if we could, well, if we could. So I bought it, finally. Well, to make a long story short, we took, I think it was, $53,000 out of the bank. 53... 54, what's the difference? It's all gone now. It's a long drive from Pacific Palisades over Sunset Boulevard, then up Beverly Glen to the valley, through Van Nuys to Sunland, and down past the sanitarium on Foothill Boulevard to where you turn off on the Angeles Highway. Especially at 1 o'clock in the morning, that was when we pulled out of Pacific Palisades. It was summer. And after you turn on the mountain road, you're not allowed to smoke. See, a fire warden might come along, and those guys can tell somebody smoking in a car a half mile off. They throw you in the can for it. Forest fires. So we didn't want anyone stopping us. It was risky enough anyway, because practically nobody ever drives up there late at night, or early in the morning, I mean. Well, we didn't meet anybody, and all three of us were jittery with no cigarettes in that road. Tough enough in the daytime, but in the dark... It was 4:30 when we got to the top. The hotel was dark, the cabins were dark, but the sky was just like solid with stars, and you could pretty near reach up and touch them. I remember the old guy and the 100-inch dome, nothing between us and the stars. And down below, well, if you'd ever been up there at night, you know what I mean. Just like looking down on the stars. The lights of 17, 18 towns, Pasadena, Los Angeles, Hollywood, Van Nuys, San Fernando, Culver City, Santa Monica. Well, makes my hair stand on end when I think of it. And I haven't seen it for, well, never mind how many years. Well, we stumbled through the pitch dark. We got off the path 3 times and nearly fell downhill, and brother, that'd be a fall. We still couldn't risk a cigarette. It was dark. Hugh Grant was in front, then me, then Aldo. We each had briefcases. Hugh had a pair of those big spring wire cutters that'd go through his steel cable. And all of a sudden, we bumped into the fence.
Ouch!
Matter?
The fence.
Where are you?
Stand still, will ya?
It's dark.
Shut up! listen for a minute. Hear anything?
No.
No.
See anything?
No.
Look.
What?
The dome over there.
See somebody?
No. Them two big windows up there with that big round dome looks like somebody's watching us.
It sure does.
Ah, cut it out. I'm gonna try the fence with the cutters.
Want the flashlight?
You chump, no.
I wish we...
What?
Forget it. I just don't like that place, though.
Get out of the way.
Want some help, you?
Just keep out of the way.
Twing!
Wait. Hear anything?
That wire made enough noise to...
All right. I'll try another strand.
Twing!
That's better.
Twing!
See, if you could slide under there, one of you...
Me. No, can't make it yet.
I'll try another. Look out for your arm there.
Twing!
Now try.
Wait, I'll take off my coat. Now let's see.
How about it?
He's through.
All right, go ahead.
Me?
You.
Well, I... cut another strand, Hugh.
Twing!
Make it now?
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, where are you, Aldo?
Right here. Come on, Hugh. Hey, slide the briefcase through first.
Coming up. Got him?
Got him.
Here I come. All set?
All set.
I'm all set. I'm as all set as I will ever be, I figure. I don't like any part of this place. I don't like the dark. I don't like the stars up above us. I don't like the lights down below. I don't like the silence. I don't like climbing around on the top of a mountain with nothing under me but thin air for a mile or more. All I can hear is Hugh and Aldo in front of me, cracking through the weeds, cursing when one of them whacks a shin against a sharp rock. All I can see is two black shapes in front of me and a blacker shape. It's the building, the little house with nothing in it. Aldo and Hugh are panting. It's 6,800 feet up, you know, and your breath is pretty short. It's tough going, especially when you're dragging a briefcase full of money, too, and you're scared and sweating and tired. And then, all of a sudden, we're under the building alongside one of the struts that hold up the little trestle.
Boost me up, Aldo.
And Aldo boosts him up. Hugh's a little guy, and he's spry. He's spryer than I am up there a mile in the air, and I guess he's not as scared as I am. So I look up, and he's sprawling on the trestle with 9 million stars behind him, and he's reaching down to me.
Grab my hand, Ross.
So I scramble up, and I'll never know how I made it either. But there we are, and in a second, Aldo is up there with us.
Now keep quiet a minute and rest. I'm knocked out.
Yeah. You hear anything, Hugh?
Just the wind. Ross?
No, I thought I heard something, but I guess it's the wind.
Listen. It's the wind. Well?
So we stood up. So Hugh walks the rest of the way down the little trestle. We followed him, stumbling over the planks, and there was the door. So we rattled the bar on it. It was padlocked. So Hugh took the big cutters and he wrenched away at the bar. And we shivered there in the cold.